Well, hello again there, folks, and I thought I would have a bit of a chat over like this week's big news in immigration, and the fact that Keir Starmer's come out and said all these things about immigration, and he's being compared to Enoch Powell, which was a turn of events that few people saw. And I thought what was interesting is to look back at the history of immigration and how we actually got to this point. And I think a lot of it has to do with the graph that you see going around. And what's really sort of crucial in all of this was where the Conservative Party just went absolutely berserk on immigration. But it reminded me there was a, for people who've been in this for a long time, there used to be a thing went around about how the Tony Blair New Labour, there was a leak came out by somebody called Andrew Neither, and he let it slip that the Immigration Party of the New Labour was specifically designed to rub the right's nose in diversity and render their arguments out of date. In other words, it was a deliberate plot to shift to all of the country rightwards and in some way break the right-wing sort of movements in the country, which could no longer function because you would have all of these quangos and this whole new multicultural sort of ideology and obsession, really, that would break, fundamentally shatter traditionalism, really. And put it beyond the pale because it would be seen as extremism or racist or whatever. And as it turns out, what I find interesting is that the Tories were more than happy to rub not just their faces, but everybody's faces in diversity. Like they couldn't get enough of it. And it was as if, like, if that was the case, if that's what New Labour set out to do, it was kind of crazy because the Tories were fine with it. They didn't really seem to mind at all. But still, when you look at that graph and you look at how we got here, I've been thinking and kind of come to the conclusion that what's actually happened is that it's the left's ideas that have been rendered obsolete because the Tories went so wild on immigration. Now, this may seem counterintuitive. I'm also not implying at all that the Tory party had some kind of grand 4D chess sort of conspiracy of their own. In actual fact, I think the Tory party should be banned for what they did, and there should be criminal investigations into what they did to this country over the last 5 years. But when you go back and you trace what had happened, I remember thinking, around about 2016 or after that the immigration sort of seemed to stabilize. For a long time we were running steady, and I've said this before that it was a steady number coming in. It was way too much, it was replacement, but in a way I thought that they had reached maximum capacity. And that was kind of like all they could do. There's only so many people you can funnel into the country because just in terms of logistics, in terms of processing all of these people. And I was proven wrong by Boris Johnson, who just broke all records. But when you go back a little bit and you go back to Brexit, there's this idea that global Britain was the real reason for the whole Brexit campaign, the European Union, and all of that. And people have said since, like, it was obvious that it was a plot by certain sort of neoliberal Tories. Farage, Johnson was another one, even Jacob Rees-Mogg, Daniel Hannan, I think. And you had these kind of utterly materialist sort of grifters, really. These just see the country. They just wanted to make money, and the way they saw that was to get Britain out of the European Union, and then they would create like a sort of Singapore on Thames, and what you would have would be this pure, or like a sort of libertarian free market bonanza. But what they did was to string along the rubes, the working class mainly, who were fed up with mass immigration and had been for a long time. And so they could lean into that. Now, if you remember Nigel Farage with the big poster with all of the immigrants coming in and all of that kind of thing, they were the idea that, I mean, this is what the left would say as well. The idea was that they would sort of dog whistle to the patriotic working class base who were bearing the brunt of all of this mass immigration. So then Brexit actually happens. And what you find is that the old-fashioned Polish plumber, you know, these Hungarian waitresses or whatever, people from around Europe, Eastern Europe primarily, who are working in pubs, do this kind of thing. Now, what's interesting is that for a lot of the time throughout the 2000s, the discussions around immigration could be sort of couched in such a way where the British sort of working class were pitted against Polish plumbers, for example, or you know, people from Romania or people from Europe, people from continental Europe, which is to say other Europeans. And in a way, I think it hid a multitude of sins that I think it was a very it was an easy position to defend for the left because most of the immigration was white and they weren't what was to come. So when we leave the European Union and all of those people begin to get home, begin to go home. And what happens is that and this again was written in. You can go back and you can find people like Nigel Farage and Boris Johnson and Daniel Hannan saying openly, like, Brexit's going to bring in people from the Commonwealth, as they would say it, but the Indian and all of this. I think one of them even said at one point, like, I'm not racist because we were after Brexit, like, we want to have people coming in from all over the world, not just Europe. So this is what's happened. And in a kind of weird twist, of like ironic twist, the left signed up to all of these multicultural values, all of this ideals. And in a certain way, they had it easy for a long time because they didn't have to sort of, they didn't have to live up to their own bullshit. They didn't have to really sort of say, well, everybody really is the same. And, you know, and so when they were calling everybody the working class racist, they would always have a kind of steel man of a perfect immigrant in their mind. And I think after the Boris wave, which was just absolutely high treason, like treason of the highest order, after the Boris wave, it became where every village and every shire was now being just overwhelmed and at rapid numbers. And you had Serco putting them up in hotels, you had and also, what I would consider to be like the UKification of the country, where the country was being terraformed at a rapid pace, turned into something which nobody recognised anymore because of just the sheer shock of the numbers. I think it's something like 4 million over 4 5 years or something. Like on the graph, you can see it's just madness, absolute madness. And all of a sudden, I think something's began to happen. Now, since Keir Starmer's made his sort of Island of Strangers speech, I've been snooping around on some of the leftist media. Now, in the mainstream, it's pretty predictable. They're all outraged. They don't really understand this, what I'm saying here. They're not smart enough. They're trying to. There's a lot of talk about carers. There's a lot of prattle about carers, and there's this kind of desperation to link it back to economics somehow. It's not about economics. It's that people don't feel they're at home anymore, and you can't put that on a spreadsheet. And the James O'Brien, you know, much as I can't stand him, he does have a point that at the end of the day, you can reduce the numbers to zero, and people are still going to be unhappy about the amount of foreigners that they see. Now he's saying it's pointless to even try. I would say yes, that is going to be the case. But this is something which has particularly happened because of the Boris wave. And a lot of the sort of leftists that I've spotted on the internet, like at Navarra Media, I noticed that there one of their pundits was getting in a lot of trouble in the comments because he was saying that it's kind of justified if you say I no longer feel at home, but obviously you're not allowed to link that to race. But it was like the cat was out of the bag. It was as if the cat was out of the bag, and he was kind of edging his way to saying people don't feel at home anymore. Well, and it isn't to do with economics, and it isn't to do with these neoliberal sort of. I mean, it is in a way. It is in a way. That's it is just treating the country like a supermarket. That's fair enough. But they just think you should share the money out differently. Whereas I would say, and I think many others would say, there's something more to it than that. You do actually have to take on board how people feel, and you can't correct that because of human nature. It's the human condition to want home. And I also think it's the case that many people on the left are now seeing it firsthand. They're getting it up close and personal. And again, it's not long gone now are the days when it was like a nice, cute Polish waitress. Long gone now are when it was a doctor from Holland and this kind of thing. Let's just say for the sake of the censors, because the human capital that came in because of the Boris wave was just of a different order. It was just fundamentally different. And at scale, obviously, we always had bad ones coming in. You can look at the grooming scandals and all of this. It goes back a long way. But now, though, it was all we were getting, and it was in millions, literally millions. And I do think, like, I've often wondered, the politicians, the leftists, they all have family, and it must be getting back to them. It must be, the casual kind of perving on women going was when they're going down the streets, the kind of the rise of just barbarism on the streets, the obvious kind of antisocial attitudes of it, and just the sheer quantity of numbers means it's no longer possible to draw sort of to individualize the foreigners. It just becomes this wall, this mass of other. And all of this, I think, has led to a strange situation where the kind of the activist left in Britain were just exhausted. Because they were no longer enthusiastic about defending that position, but they didn't have an off ramp. And they're all moaning about Keir Starmer, but he's probably done them a favour. I mean, obviously, this is all a cynical thing because they're worried about reform. But fundamentally, I think there's a lot of them, and I saw it on some of the media. They are looking for an off ramp from this. They are thinking this position is just no longer tenable to hold. I just don't want to live like this anymore, but it's completely against my professed ideals. And this is why I think, again, the reaction, except for the mainstream pundits, has been kind of muted and a little bit sort of. As if, like, I don't want to go on with this fight forever. Obviously, you've got a lot of the foreigners who've got skin in the game, so to speak, and they're coming out because they can see, like, this is getting a little bit, this is getting a bit hot now. This is getting a bit close to home. But fundamentally, I think what happened is because of the Boris wave, the position of the left became very difficult to defend. And all of a sudden, it was as if they were the ones having their noses rubbed in diversity. And let's remember, people on the right didn't have to defend that. For the people on the right, it was an act of huge betrayal by the Tories, who have been smashed by this themselves. But then the people on the left are seeing this and thought, some of them must have been thinking, we're expected to defend this. We are now expected to defend like this insane policy by like people we hate, by these Tories who again were just doing it because of the grift, because of their friends wanted cheap labour and all of the rest of it. And I feel like a lot of them feel like they've been played for suckers, but of course it's deeply ingrained in them that they can't be racist, they can't discriminate and all of that. So they find themselves in this bind, which I think has just kind of broken them in a way, just exhausted them. And I think Keir Starmer's kind of trying to do them a favor because he's going to be thinking the countries, we are on the hook for this. This is a Tory. The Tories did this to the country. And yet it's we who are going to be on the hook for it. Rather than you get this kind of crazy sort of situation where at the end of the day, it's but the Tories have rubbed the left's face in diversity and rendered their arguments out of date and obsolete just through their treachery, just through being absolute venal scum. It wasn't because they wanted to, they thought this was going to do the left any harm. It's just because they're backstabbing scumbags. But the situation that the left have been in is one in which they have to live up. They have to defend this because of their core principles. Their core principles are put them on the hook for like endless Albanian gangsters and Somalians and all of these different groups coming in, and just a relentless barrage of bad headlines in the Daily Mail. And again, more and more their own families and themselves, because a lot of them live around London, coming face to face with this. And so that's just some thoughts on how it ended up, where you go back to Andrew Neither and the New Labour plot, and it's like you crank that up, you take away the Polish waitresses, and you crank it up to like warp 10, like what the Tories did. And you end up pushing them beyond the capacity of the left to defend their own principles because it becomes so obvious what they have to live up to, that it's just no longer a tenable position. So, anyway, thanks for listening, folks, and I'll catch you later.